Bibles. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. The Lord's worthy to be praised. And in fact, when we come to the house of the Lord, I think we're supposed... Now, they, folk don't do it in these days. We come in dragging our tracks out. Amen. Feeling sorry for ourselves. But Psalm 100 said, when you come in the presence of the Lord and into His house, that you're to do it with thanksgiving. Amen. To be thankful unto Him and to be blessing His name. Amen. Is in order. Appreciate that reminder and song today. And I appreciate Brother Coker and his family and the ministry there. I love to hear somebody be excited about what God is doing for them. And you say, well, God don't ever do stuff like that for me. It's because you don't get excited when God does do things for you. And I think the Lord's longing to bless us as we get excited and tell folk, make sure He gets all the glory and you get none. God can trust His blessings. Amen, to people like that. I'm in a familiar text this morning. And when I announce it, don't go, oh man, I've heard everything there is to hear about that text. I want you to stay with me this morning in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, I've got a really, really, really short, small message this morning. Amen, a small message. I've got a long introduction and a lot of background to give to you. But I want you, in fact, that the background's going to kind of be the message this morning. And then I'll throw out some things, kind of expound upon the text this morning. I'm thankful that you're here this morning. Good to see you. Always good to see our church family and friends is here and comes faithfully or from time to time as they're able. And it's good to see Jonathan here this morning. Running him, you know, he works at Bass Pro. And I've been laughing, man, I've been laughing since I run into you the other day. And I was in there walking around, amen, trying to find more fishing lures and things like I need more to go in my boat. I got more money in fish lures and baits than my boat's worth. And I was in there just walking around, enjoying myself. And Jonathan, I seen coming down the aisle and wave at him. He comes and talks. And we was talking a minute, and then he looked at me. He said, you must have the Holy Ghost on you today. And I thought, well, I hope I do. He said, I've been up there watching that video. He said, there's a guy up there getting ready to steal some dog collars, I think it was. And he said, we was up there watching him and keeping our eye on him. We know he's going to steal them dog collars. He said, and you walked down the same aisle he was on when you passed by and put them dog collars back and walked out the store. And amen. So I'm gonna hire my services out, amen, all over the way, amen. Just walk up and down the aisles with the Holy Ghost on me, amen. Them sinners, they'll put their, amen. They'll, amen. Lot I could say there. I can't stand a thief, amen. Thieves are terrible, amen. Thieves are terrible, but I'm thankful, amen. The Lord saves folk like that. He surely can. Brother Ronnie, you got something? Go ahead, brother. Amen, brother. Good. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. I'm glad you're here, Brother Ronnie. Glad you're here. Let's stand together, Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to begin a reading in verse number 13, and I want to major on verse 13, and then in verse number 18, if the Lord to help us, is where we'll get our thought and some of the background of this passage. And I heard a preacher reference some of these things even this week, and it really stirred my mind. I began to study, and the Lord kind of has added some things in my own heart. And I want to give you some things this morning if the Lord would be our helper. Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Notice that, the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist. some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So a lot of men had a lot of different opinions about who Jesus was and what he had come to do. Now Jesus is going to speak to his disciples, and he's going to make this very pointed and very personal to them. Not what do you hear others are saying about me. Notice what he said in verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, now, when Peter goes talking, there ain't no telling what's getting ready to come out of his mouth. If you know anything about Peter in the New Testament, I mean, he can make some brilliant statements, and then he can make some very, some blunders. Let's just put it that way. But he got it right here. Notice what the Bible said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Boy, what an answer. What an answer to an all-important question. How you answer that question, amen, in a personal way. Not what does Brother Ledbetter think about Christ. Not this, the question is not what does Riley Jones say about Christ. Amen. You've got to get this question right. Amen. All of eternity rests on this very question being answered, amen, in the right way. And I believe Peter answered it in the right way. In fact, Jesus commended it and answered, verse 17, and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so there are some things you'll never know in and of yourself. They cannot be taught in a classroom. They cannot be experienced through the situations and conditions that life would run us through. And Jesus said to Peter, the only way a man can know who I, the Son of Man, am, is that the Father would reveal it, and that you would embrace that revelation and make that confession, amen, of Christ being who he said he was. Now, in light of all of that, verse 18 said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Notice what this end of this phrase said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. We'll leave off our reading there. Again, I know these are familiar verses, and we've heard them preach. I've preached them probably a dozen times or more in the last 20-something years of preaching. But I want to show you something. I'm preaching this morning. Let me go ahead and give you my thought. I'm going to lift it out of verse number 18 and just simply preach on the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. You can be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, please help us today. Lord, speak to every heart. I pray that the eyes of sinners would be open. I pray, Father, this morning the saints of God would, Lord, understand this text, and Lord, the victory and the triumph and the power that is bestowed upon us as the children of God. And I pray this morning, Lord, we'd leave here, Lord, with joy in our soul, rejoicing, praising our Savior, and Lord, living, Lord, is more than conquerors that you've saved us to be. Lord, I pray in these troubling times, days of confusion, Lord, days when it seems like the church and the children of God are losing ground, help us, Lord, to by faith embrace the great promises that you've laid upon our heart, Lord, to declare one more time. Lord, I'll thank you and I'll bless you. I know these that are gathered in here today do the same. Lord, for all the help you send our way, in Jesus' name again we pray. Amen and amen. Matthew 16, verse 13 through 20 are some of the most important If I'm putting it this way, one of the most important texts in the life of the Lord Jesus so far as His earthly ministry is concerned. And we know the reason that Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, was to ultimately go and lay down His life on an old rugged cross to be buried and to raise again the third day. And that was the purpose and the reason for which He came into this world. But while He was here and while the will of God was being performed and carrying Him to that wonderful and glorious time and event, that day where He died and then 3 days later be raised from the dead, the Lord gave a lot of instruction as He is forming His church and laying the groundwork for the work of God that is going on even to this very day, 2,000 years later. And Matthew 16, 13 through 20 is one of those instances where the Lord just settles His disciples down and gets very personal with them, makes them get very personal with Him. And there are some foundations that are laid forth that are the bedrock of what it is to be, amen, a part of the church of the living God. Amen. And so we would say again this morning, it matters not what others would say about Jesus. Amen. The world has a lot of ideas about who Jesus is and what He came to do. Amen. But no matter what they say, Christ came and was and is more than a teacher. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a healer and more than just a mere good man. He is Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. He is Jesus, sent my friend of the Father to seek and to save that is lost. And we're thankful, amen, for this way this text bears this out. The Lord brings this to a head, if you will, the confession that is made by Peter and no doubt by these other men, as the Father had revealed that to them, this great saving spiritual truth of who Jesus Christ is. And so the Lord says, now that you've got that nailed down, amen, let me say, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, referencing Himself, Christ, the Rock of Ages, and the Ancient of Days, I will build my church. And build it He did, and He is in this hour. And I'm thankful today for the church. There's a lot of debate in our day about the essentials of our society. And the debate has raged now for over a year whether or not church is essential. And I'm not trying to be political and get in all that realm this morning. Amen. I got my opinion and you got yours. Amen. Fauci even has his own. And so, amen, we'll leave all that for outside of these walls. But, amen, I will say and say dogmatically today that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is essential. Amen. It's essential to our faith. It is essential to, amen, grounding us in the Word of God and serving the Lord and being a part of His ministry. And so the Lord makes a declaration and a promise that, amen, He will build His church. And in making this statement, amen, in making this statement about His church, amen, there is this issue that the church has an enemy. And there is an enemy that is opposed to the work of God. There is, my friend, an enemy and a foe. And we love nothing more than to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, I want to go on record, amen, before the day of Pentecost and before the times of the Reformation and before, my friend, the gospel would be even declared to the Gentile worlds. Amen. Jesus said, the record that I bear is so that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, the church. And so we're preaching on the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, I've preached this text. I've heard it preached many a times. But I've never made a connection that I believe is so clear when you begin to study the Word of God. And Brother Tim told about the King James Bible this morning. And I would go on record and remind you that every word and every account Amen. Of every verse, every sentence, every statement of the Word of God is absolutely inspired and preserved. Amen. For our understanding of what God wants us to know. And that is definitely the case even in the historical account of the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. In the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want to point your attention to is back in verse number 13. And the Bible said when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He's in a very specific place. Now, a lot of things Jesus did, we do not know the location. There's many places I could go and read and preach from. And Christ did that there would be no background that would tell us where those events took place. And so when the Holy Ghost makes it, amen, very clear of where something happened, it's there on purpose. And it's interesting to me that of all the 3.5 years that Christ taught and things that He gave His disciples and gave the apostles that would regard the church and the future of the work of God, that He chose this setting of the coast of Caesarea Philippi to give them these truths. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Caesarea Philippi. It will get us to the very phrase and the thought. And I've got an outline. I don't know if I'll even give it to you when we get there. Amen. I may just preach for just a moment. Caesarea Philippi is in a region there in the days of Christ that in Old Testament times was the neighboring city of Dan. You remember Dan in the Old Testament in the days of King Jeroboam when the kingdom of Israel had been divided. And Jeroboam was nervous about those in his kingdom going to the southern kingdom there to the house of God to worship, that their hearts would be led away from him and he would lose his throne and his crown. The answer that he come up with to deter from that is that he built two high places. He built one in Bethel in the southern part of the northern kingdom, and he built one in Dan, which was in the northern part of his kingdom. In those two places, King Jeroboam made a grave mistake. And in that high place, both, he had fashioned a golden calf. And the golden calf represented an idol. And he led the northern kingdom away into idolatry, at where they would worship this golden calf, my friend, in Bethel and then Dan. And that idolatry of the golden calf worship ultimately opened the door to the great Baal worship that was rebuked time and time and time again through the prophets of the Lord being raised up to call the people of God to repent from straying from the Lord. Now that was in Old Testament times, the region, that northern region. My friend, that place of Dan was the neighboring city. That when you come to the days of Christ, was the northern neighboring city of this place that we read about, Caesarea Philippi. Now, in the days when the Greeks had come in and really ruled the known world and conquered cities for themselves and established things in their empire, you'll find that the Greeks came to this area that in our text is known as Caesarea Philippi. And when the Greeks conquered that territory, they made a religious center of worship for the Greek god that they worshiped by the name of Pan. Amen. Pan was a Greek god, a mythological creature. And this city, this territory, this place in our text known as Caesarea Philippi, was known in the Greek Empire as Panias. And again, it was named after the god Pan. They there in that place had set up a temple there. And you can find pictures of this online. And there is in that place of Caesarea Philippi
a sheer cliff wall, a bluff wall, if you will. And there was a natural cave that had been formed at the base of that. And there was water that would come down Mount Hermat and would fill that mountain with underwater springs. That water would literally come up out of the mouth of that cave. So the Greeks, when they came to that place, they began to say, this is the place where Pan was born. Our god Pan was born in this cave. And it became a religious center of worship. And y'all hang with me. I'm giving you a lot of background talking about Pan. And I'm getting ready to get real weird on you. Amen. Just hang with me and we'll make a statement in a moment. So in the days of the Greeks here is this worship. They built a temple off the side of that rock wall over the mouth of that cave. They had a temple that had an entire religious rituals and paganism and idolatry committed to the god known as Pan. Now you say, preacher, what is Pan? Amen. Pan's not, amen, some little small boy from Neverland flying around in green leotards. Amen. Coming back and forth from a mystical world. But Pan was depicted by the Greeks as a half-man, half-goat mythological creature. Their mythology, amen, and the Greeks and the gods and the stories that have been passed down, said that when Pan was born, his mother found him so hideous and so ugly that she carried him to Mount Olympus and gave him to be raised to the other gods, upon which Pan became one of the favorites of all the gods. In fact, Pan means God of many gods. There is a term, and in fact, one of my daughters had heard this term at work and came and asked me some time ago and said, Daddy, what is pantheism? And pantheism in our day, and there's a lot of folk that are falling into this religion of pantheism, which just means there are many gods. There are many gods. We worship many gods. That is what Pan, the Greek god, my friend, represented, the god of many gods. He was known as the god of the shepherds. He was known as the god of music and the god of fertility. In fact, when the Greeks came into that area and that territory, and they took it over, what the Greeks taught and believed about the god Pan is that cave, the mouth of that cave, was where Pan entered and exited from this realm to the underground world. What they believe is that the goddesses would meet Pan in this place here in Caesarea Philippi or Panius in the days of the Greeks. There they would engage in immoral acts, and other gods would be born to this god known as Pan. My, what detestable things would take place in the days of the Greeks. The activities that went on in the pagan place of worship, in this pagan place of worship consisted, my friend, of the most perverse, immoral, sinful acts you can imagine. Human sacrifice of babies. They would bring their babies, and in an attempt to please the god Pan, they would literally cast their babies into that raging river coming out of the mouth of that cave to try to gain some favor with the god Pan. You'll find that there was obviously idolatry and statues and images of this man-goat creature that prevailed throughout all the place and other sinful activities. And to be honest with you, this in my study, and I don't recommend just anybody go study this stuff out. Amen. You better have the Holy Ghost and a little God on you and be walking with God before you dive into this. And I'll explain that in a moment. Amen. But when you began to study what went on in that temple and by that cave, my friend, it is some of the most lewd and perverted and that friend downright wicked and evil activity went on in that very place. They said in that study that you had the temple and then the mouth of the cave. And outside of the temple were two balconies, an upper balcony and a lower balcony. And there men and women would come to worship the god Pan. And they had there, because he's half goat, half man, and they said they had dancing goats. And them goats, as music would be playing, they would dance. And people would get in that upper balcony and that lower balcony. And part of their worship was they would dance with goats. And I want to be careful here, but it would turn into some of the most lewd and perverse and immoral and perverted activity that you could imagine. Amen. The God of Pan. You say, preacher, how did it become known as Caesarea Philippi? You understand that after the Greek Empire, the Romans come. And they began to conquer the Greek Empire. And they would come and they would destroy much of what the Greeks had established and then rebuild those places for their own name's sake. When you, and I know this is weird, y'all hang with me. I wish I'd take a picture. Everybody's going, goats and perversion and idolatry and babies being thrown in the water. Amen. I'm just telling you how bad the scene was, it was there. Amen. In the days of Christ and prior to the days of Christ, and during the days of Christ, the Roman Empire had taken over this city. This was when it was given its name, Caesarea Philippi. You'll understand about the Roman Empire, many of the places they conquered, they would name those, they would give names to that, using that title Caesarea, which was attributing that to dedication to the Caesars of the Roman Empire. Philippi, Caesarea Philippi, amen, is that it received its name not only in honoring Caesar, but Herod Philip had been given this for his own compensation. He had this place rebuilt, and he gave it the name Caesarea Philippi in honor of the Caesar and his own name. And during the days of Christ, this city, after Herod Philip had renamed it and rebuilt it, this city continued to practice the demonic pagan rituals associated with worship to Pan and other gods. In fact, Herod Philip, one of the great gods that the Roman Empire worshipped, was the god Zeus. And right next to the temple to Pan, they built another temple to Zeus and several other deities that were worshipped. And so you have Pan and all it represented and just heathenism. And no doubt demonic activity. And then the Roman Empire added even more to it. And so there is debauchery, there is perversion, there is immorality, there is lasciviousness, there is drunkenness, there is vileness, and it's taking place everywhere, amen, in this place of the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Now you understand that was the heathens, and that was the pagans and the Gentile world. But this was located, my friend, all around different Jewish settlements and cities. And in the days, my friend, the Roman Empire and the Jews, knowing what that place had represented in Panius and then Caesarea Philippi, it is said that the Jews were very fearful of that place. Now the reason is, and some of y'all need to understand this, amen, because Hollywood comes out with all these movies about gods, and they're taking mythological Greek gods and Roman gods, and they're putting them to the screen. And it's amazing how many even so-called Christians are entertained by that kind of activity. Amen. Those Greek gods and Roman gods were nothing more than demons that had been exposed to humanity. And rather than turning and worshiping God and serving Christ and putting their faith in the one and true God, they had gone after the way of demons. Baal was a demon, and Pan was a demon, and Zeus is a demon, and Thor is a demon. And we go on and on and on about, amen, these Greek creatures, so-called gods, and the paganism and the demonology that is behind them. And even the Jews in the days of Christ knew, stay away from Caesarea Philippi. There's things that go on there we don't want to see. There are things that can be heard there that we don't want to hear. I can imagine the Jews spread out around that region. Amen. As their children get up day by day. Amen. To go out and to play upon the hillsides. And maybe Jewish moms and dads would say, but Jerry, I'll be safe today. And make sure that you have a good time. But maybe they would say, you know, stay away from such and such area. There are dangers that are there. And don't be running around on the cliffs. We don't want you falling off and breaking your neck. And maybe warning them about maybe where the boundaries were. Them Jews were absolutely dogmatic. As their children come up, they would put a fear in their heart. Do not go to Caesarea Philippi. Do not go down to the temple of Pan. Do not engage and cast your net upon all that demonic activity. And they were absolutely dreadful and afraid of what Caesarea Philippi represented. Amen. In fact, you want to know what the Jews called that place and what went on there? They called it the gates of hell. Jesus is walking the countryside with his disciples. And may I say this about Christ, and I'm almost done. Brother Mike, Christ never went anywhere on accident. Everywhere Christ went, it was on purpose. There was a reason behind it. There was some truth he was going to proclaim. And now all of a sudden I can say, amen, as he's making his way across the countryside, and maybe the disciples are going, oh no, we're headed in the direction of Caesarea Philippi. All of a sudden, maybe, amen, they enter into that place, and them boys are maybe thinking in their heart, does Jesus not know where we are? Does he not know what goes on in this place? All of a sudden, Christ turns to them and says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, oh, some of them say that you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. And some say that you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah. And others have come up with all sorts of other prophets of that you could be. And Jesus looked at him and said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter stood up and said, I tell you who you are. Amen, you're not a God of many gods. Amen, you're not the one of many. And he said, thou art the Christ, a Son of the living God. Amen, and I'm telling you, in the midst of Caesarea Philippi, at the very gates of hell, amen, Christ said, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so, boys, what I want you to understand, here we are standing at the very gates of hell, a place that the pagans believe, and this is where demonic creatures come in and out of, from the underground world into the earthly realm. This is where they worship Pan. This is where they worship Satan and Zeus. This is where the very gates of hell are at. And your parents taught you to fear it. And your parents taught you to stay awake. And your parents put some anxiety in you about the gates of hell. And on this confession and upon the fact that I'm building my church, it doesn't matter what comes in and out of the underground. It doesn't matter what spirits trouble your life. It doesn't matter how the gates of hell, amen, come against you. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. We're living in, and I'm not trying to scare you. We're living in days of demonic activity. There are around this world temples not. Amen. You can go in some of the third world countries and they've got temples. We don't necessarily see a whole lot of that in America. And the reason is that, amen, hell don't have to have, amen, something in America. Amen. We got it on our, amen, being packed in through the television. Amen. We got it coming through the, amen, cell phones of our day. Amen. The gates of hell are in every hand and there's demonic activity. Amen. I'm telling you today on every hand. Amen. I can't bog down here. Amen. It ain't my point. Amen. Other than to say, if you're saved, you have a promise, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Peter, you've been taught to be afraid and to consider all the power of the demonic world and the underground world and the diablos and the demons and the devil and Satan himself. You've been taught to fear his power, but amen, the one who is the foundation and the one who stands before you is telling you that in his power, amen, the gates of hell have no power. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils plague these last days. Spirits of discouragement. Spirits of infirmities. Spirits of depression. Underground demonic activity. My friend of absolute lewdness. Don't you get mad at me this morning. Amen. Some of the same activity that was going on, my friend, in the temple of Pan and on the upper and the lower balcony. Amen. It's some of the same junk and garbage we're seeing in the streets of America today. Transgenderism. Sodomy. Are you listening? Amen. Drunkenness. Amen. What is it? Amen. It is the very gates of hell that have risen up against this generation and against this society. Amen. You know, I've got to hurry, brother. Amen. The gates, you study the gates in the Word of God and you'll find that gates, that is where the elders of a city would sit and they would devise policies, and talk about politics, and arrange the way the government was going to be ran. Buddy, I tell you, the gates of hell, amen, still are promoting policies and politics, amen, that are running this nation in the ground. Amen, I can't make it bad enough. I can't preach against it hard enough. Amen, the things we're seeing in our day. Brother Tim hit on it today. Amen, defund the police. You know what that is? It's that demonic activity. Amen, that goes against, amen, recognizing and honoring our authorities.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen. Critical race theory. Black Lives Matter. Amen. I'm telling you today, every bit of it is steeped in demonism.
Right.
Demonism.
Right.
Amen. And people swallowing it up. What is it? It's the gates of hell. Amen. Promoting a certain political agenda. And my friend is arranging everything. Amen. For that son of perdition to come in on the sea and burst through the gates of hell and take this world by storm.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen. Hey man, I'm still in introduction. I told y'all it was real long. The message is only about that short. There in the gates of a city, when there was a war that was getting ready to take place, you know where they devised their plans? They did it in the gates of the city. The gates of the city not only represented politics, but it represented their plans. And where they would plan out their strategy, where they would plan out how they would attack that foe that they wanted to destroy. Hey, I say today, and hell still is making plans, and they desire and plan for your destruction and your demise and the division of this church and the divorce of your family. And hell has many, many plans today. Gates of hell represent those plans.
Yes, sir.
Everybody okay?
Yes.
Preacher, this is about depressing. I know it is. This is where we're living. It's where we're living today. Here's what Jesus said. I don't care what they push politically. I don't care what plans that they promote. Amen. Who would have ever thought in America that now abortion's been a big thing for a long, long time. Amen. In America, I guess it was legalized all the way back in Roe v. Wade in the early 70s. And America since then has slaughtered. You listen to me, slaughtered babies to the underground world. Say, oh, no, 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 that's about women's choice. No, that's about demonism. Do you know how full of devil, how full of demons a person has to be and stand up there in Washington and promote and push, amen, partial birth abortion? It's absolutely demonic.
Right.
So, oh, that you gonna make Hillary mad? Oh, bless God. You know how wicked. What is that? It ain't about women's rights. It's about their form of religion. Following demons. We're the church of the living God. And so we're dealing with these politics and we're dealing with these plans. But gates also speak of protection. Amen. Listen, the ground that hell is gaining, amen, they want to protect that ground. The devil ain't interested in compromise. The devil's got his plan in place. Amen. Sodomites got more rights than they've ever had. Amen. And abortionists, amen, they can get mad about, amen, who's on the Supreme Court and all that. Amen, they got more rights. Amen, and their agenda is promoted and pushed more than it's ever been.
Right. Yes, sir.
Hell longs to guard and hold that ground and protect what ground they have gained. Drunkenness and moonshine. I didn't mean to get on all this, Brother Gerald. I didn't mean to get on all this tangent, but I'm going to tell you, moonshine and drunkenness, promoting it, my friend, on every turn.
Right.
Amen, you preached in Gatlinburg yesterday on the street. Amen, you can't walk 10 feet in downtown Gatlinburg anymore without somebody shoving moonshine in your face. Amen, I ain't going down there. Ain't taking my family down there. Amen. Why? Because that's the gates of hell. So we need that place. That's our financial backing in this hour. You listen to me real good and well. That is the gates of hell. Everybody all right? Hell is trying, amen, through their gates to guard what ground that they have taken over. But here's what Jesus said. Hell may overrun this world. Every pagan, every heathen may decide to embrace hell and go through their gates. They may choose to enter in at that wide gate. They may decide, amen, to go down the broad, broad way. Amen, they may embrace all the sinful, immoral, lascivious activity that this world promotes in 2021. Amen, hell may gain more and more followers and may prevail and carry many souls to hell. Brother Larry, Jesus said, amen, this will not be so with my church. Amen, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Every church that loves the Lord with all their heart, every church that my friend will refuse, amen, to yield up the truth, and my friend yield up their ground, and my friend build their ministry and their lives and their family on what the old blessing book says. Amen. Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And I tell you what's sad in this day. There's a lot of churches that have entered into the gates of hell. Compromise. Amen. You say, oh, you shouldn't run people down. And I know we ain't the only church in town. Amen. And a lot of things we could say. Amen. We need a lot of help from God. We've got a lot of things we need God to do around here. Amen, but I'm going to tell you something. Amen, don't my friend, kid yourself. Amen, hell would love to see our demise. Hell would love to see us divided and discord sown. And my friend long to see the war break out on us. Amen, to cause us to water down the truth. Amen, this whole world, they say, amen, they say about us in their stand. But Gerald, they'll say, well, amen, they're just so fuddy-duddies and holy rollers that holier than thou, and they're so judgmental, and they're so critical, and legalistic, and they've got all sorts of terms that they use against us because we won't go along with their sin. Amen. Amen. It's amazing you stand against sin, the things people put labels on you about. You mark it down, the church of the living God. It is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. We stand for truth. We stand for right. I'm not for being a Pharisee about it. Amen. Keep the best attitudes you can. Dear God, somebody better make a stand. Somebody better stand up and say enough is enough. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. What do we have in this text? Can I give it to you? And I got to quit. Lord, have mercy.
Amen, brother. Amen.
None got carried away, Riley. Got visitors in the building. I'm supposed to be dignified, and I've blowed it. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Number one. Notice in this text that promise is given in light of a faith that is proclaimed. Who do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus didn't. When they said, oh, everybody says you, John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah. You want them great men of God of yesteryear? Jesus didn't give them the promise. But when my friend Peter looked at Christ and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. He made a confession. He, my friend, throwed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that not what Paul said over in Romans 10? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You cannot get saved without confessing who Jesus is. Amen. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Amen. I'm glad 25 years ago. Amen. In a little over a month, praise God. Amen. I'm glad to go on record and say, amen, I bowed on my knee. I confessed Him as Lord and Savior and believed and put my faith in what Jesus did for me. Hell cannot prevail against us. Amen. Because we've got a faith in one that goes beyond ourselves. I ain't trusting the Pope. I ain't trusting the Jehovah's Witness. I ain't trusting in the Mormon Church. I ain't trusting in the Baptist Church. I'm trusting that Jesus is who He said He is. Son of God. The Son of God. Jesus, Brother Jackie's Jesus, my Savior. You may have some opinion about Him, buddy, I'm telling you, I've anchored it in what Jesus said. I've anchored it in what the Father has revealed to me. And there is a faith that is proclaimed. Amen. In light of this promise of faith and is proclaimed, why is it? Amen. I know saved people get crossed up. I know saved folk. It don't mean that we're sinless. It don't mean sometimes we don't stray away. Amen. But why is it this trail? Amen. Says they believe Christ. Amen. They'll deny the demons. Now this is big right here. They'll deny the demons. Amen. They'll put the demons out of their life, but they don't ever put Jesus in their life. Jesus talked about that in His earthly ministry. That when a man casts out a devil out of his house, amen, but if it's left empty, won't be long. Because it's empty, there'll be multitudes more that come back in. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say Jesus is? Have you ever made a confession of Christ, the only way of salvation? Amen. You remember what? Amen. You remember what Paul told the Philippian jailer? And he said, "Dear God, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Amen. Thank God. I'm glad. Amen. I know who Jesus is. John the Beloved said, amen, if a man deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, this man is Antichrist. And he is not born again. Amen. But thank God we that believe. Amen. We are tapped in with salvation power. And hell shall not prevail. Hell can't take me to hell. Hell can't drag me into sin. Hell has lost its title deed on my life. Thank God I belong to the Savior. He has changed my life and I'm saved. Glory to God. Amen, a faith that is proclaimed. Amen, I know in whom I have believed. That's what Paul said. Amen, I know in whom, not what. Amen, not a dogma, not a list of things. He said, I'm trusting somebody. Amen, for the keeping of my soul. I know in whom I have believed. Amen, I know who He is. Amen, He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He's the Ancient of Days, the Rock of Ages, the bright and the morning star. He's the first and last, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and praise God, He's the end. He's Christ, He's Lord, He's King of Kings. He's faithful and true. And I know in whom I have believed, and hell shall not prevail. Glory to God. I didn't mean to work up like this. You may have to come back and preach tonight. I'm about to blow her out, friend. Thank God of faith that is proclaimed. Amen. Have you proclaimed it? Have you confessed it? Amen. Ain't no such thing as a secret disciple. Jesus said, you deny me before men and be ashamed of me, I'll deny you and be ashamed of you. But if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Oh, September the 14th, 1996, man, I called on Him, I confessed Him. I put my faith in Him. I proclaim that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And in a moment of time, I confessed Him. And thank God He turned to the Father and confessed me. And ever since that day, amen, hell again has lost its title deed to my soul. Amen. Well, I got more. I said the message was like that, but I done made it like that. But you already know it was going to happen. It ain't a lie if you already know what's going to happen. A faith that is proclaimed. Notice there's a foundation that is promised. Jesus didn't look at Peter and say, "Okay, big shot, you're ready to go to war." Oh no, He said, "Thou art Peter." Peter there, He gives him this name. He's going from Simon, amen, to now he's going to be called Peter. And Peter there literally means a little stone. Peter, you ain't much. You're just a small stone in the building. Jesus looked at him and said, "Upon this rock, mega rock, Petros." Petra, big rock. Huge. Huge. Use a Trumpism, bigly. It's bigly. He said, "The reason hell shall not prevail is that I am building my church upon myself, the rock." Can I say, thank God? Been a lot of days, man, it felt like hell and demons were breathing down the back of my neck. Amen. Been a lot of days, man, under oppression and under, depression from, satanic spirits. But, I'm thankful when I'm weak. Thank God He's still strong. And when I can't go on, He can. That when I feel like giving up, He just anchors in and helps me make it through that and through every trial of life. When hell, amen, when whisper, "Just give up. It ain't worth it. After all, it ain't worth it. All that you face and all you go through. I just compromise a little bit. I just let up just a little bit. And it won't be so hard." All of a sudden, amen, I feel the foundation, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. A one who is the Word made flesh, amen, to dwell among us. I rest in Him and I draw all the strength I need. I find all the grace I need to faith, amen, because it's not about our might. Not about how strong or big of a Christian you are. On your best day left to yourself, hell would swallow you up.
That's right.
Amen. On your best day, on your most spiritual day, on the day you prayed the most in your own flesh, spent hours praying, left to yourself, hell would absolutely destroy you. When we wake up day by day, rest our daily lives upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. I need nothing else to stand on. Brother A.L., I need no other argument, the songwriter said. Amen. It is enough. Jesus is enough. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, we read, amen, that in redemption we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and, amen, the prophets. Amen. But oh, he said, the apostles had Christ, which is the chief cornerstone. Amen. I'm glad I'm on a solid foundation today. And I'm standing for Christ, standing on Christ, and standing with Christ. There's a foundation. And He has promised to His people, amen, that hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
We look all around and we see all the activities going on. And they beckon us. Join us. Join us! You old fuddy-duddies. We not only not join them, we square ourselves up on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, "What you're doing is wicked. What you're doing is destroying your life and destroying society and destroying people all around you. They call us all kinds of names. We just go home at night and we pillar our head. Rest on a foundation. It's been so sure. Unweathered by the storms. Unmoved by time. Strong as he's ever been, Brother Jerry. A foundation. He said, I'm going to build this church. I will build my church upon myself, the rock. Amen. Can I say, I think there's in this text, verse 18, the future that is prophesied. Because I'm going to be honest with you, when you just kind of casually look around, I should have gotten to this point 15 minutes ago. But Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But the gates of hell are prevailing in our society. So what do you mean? Things are not getting better. Things are not getting more godly. Things are getting worse and worse and more vile and more wicked every day. What is that? It is hell gaining ground. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, and it wasn't for a little band of believers that joined in to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle this morning that said, ain't going that way. Still keep a voice of sanity and righteousness and godliness. Boy, you ain't seen nothing like what you're going to see in the tribulation period. When the church is raptured out and that voice is gone and the Holy Ghost steps aside and lets the Antichrist, the son of perdition, come in, you have not seen nothing yet.
Yes, sir.
Thank God the church has a future that's been prophesied. It may all but overrun every part of society. But right before it can swallow up the church, we're out of here. Somebody said the direction of the church is not good. The direction of the church is what it's always been, upward. We may have some bumps in the road. Amen. We may feel like we're standing still, and we may feel like, amen, things maybe should be different than they are. One of these days and soon, Jesus said, Jesus promised, I'm going away, but I'm coming again. And when I come again, I'm going to receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. A future that is prophesied. Oh man, so much I could preach there, Brother Jack. I don't know about y'all. I guess the last 3-4 years of my life, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, and you get older, you go through a lot of things. The last 3 or 4 years of my life, I've become more and more aware of the gates of hell and the demonic activity going on in our society and how it is designed to wreck our faith. In recent days, Brother Jack, I find myself riding down the road saying, Lord, please come get us. I'm not belly aching. The work of the ministry is wonderful. It's still a good work. Love the people of God. I love life. I love my family. Buddy, you look around, sissy, and there's so much in this world does not line up with who we are in Christ. Watch hell try to swallow my children. Watch hell swallow up church members. Watch folk walk through the gates of hell and give their life to all sorts of wickedness. People say, oh, he just mean. No, he ain't mean. He's broken. Tired of watching people get swallowed up in the gates of hell. long for the day Jesus sounds a trumpet, frees us from all this filth, all this vexation. Until then, I want to be faithful. Until then, I want to keep preaching the gospel. Until then, I want to reach all I can. In the depths of my soul, I'm trying, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. And that's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're out of here. We're out of here. We're getting out of here one day soon. We're getting out of here. Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know who Jesus is? It's what Jesus said eternal life is, John 17:3. Eternal life is to know Him. To know Him. Brother Larry, for it to be real between you and Him, for it to be personal between you and Him. Amen. Do you know Him? Are you saved? Are you ready to go if He come today? Sister Candy's going to play. I know I went long. Look, if you seen my notes, you'd go, there's no way. There's no way He preached all that. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost got on me today. I ain't bragging on that. I give Him the glory. I know when I got it. I know when I ain't. I can tell you when I ain't had it. I can tell you when I have, and God's let me preach in the Holy Ghost today. Thank God, church, lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Look beyond all the debauchery and perversion and sin and vexing. Jesus is coming for us. Until then, rest in the blessed promise. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Let's stand together, every head's bowed, every eye's closed.